You're standing at the edge of Puget Sound on the northeast tip of Bainbridge Island, where the water stretches out toward the snow-capped Cascades. This is Fay Bainbridge Park, 17 acres of shoreline where over 10,000 years of human history have unfolded. Long before this place had a name on any map, the Suquamish people lived throughout these waters and forests. Their name, Deasquashquobs, means people of the clear salt water, and they thrived here for millennia, harvesting salmon from these runs, gathering shellfish from these very beaches, and managing the cedar forests with sophisticated stewardship practices that sustained abundant ecosystems generation after generation. Just a few miles from where you stand, across the island at Agate Pass, once stood the most remarkable structure in the Pacific Northwest, Old Man House. This massive cedar longhouse stretched over 500 feet along the shoreline and 60 feet wide, housing up to 600 people in subdivided family compartments. It was the winter home of Chief Seattle, the Suquamish and Duwamish leader for whom the city across the water is named, and Chief Kitsap, namesake of the surrounding county. In 1792, the world these shores knew began to change. British explorer Captain George Vancouver anchored near Bainbridge Island, marking the first recorded European contact with the Suquamish. The encounter was diplomatic. Trade goods exchanged hands, surveys were conducted, but it set in motion a transformation that would reshape everything. That transformation accelerated on January 22, 1855, when Chief Seattle stood at Mukilteo and signed the Treaty of Point Elliott. Along with leaders from more than 20 tribes, he ceded traditional Suquamish territory, including Bainbridge Island, to the United States in exchange for the Port Madison Indian Reservation and guaranteed fishing rights. It was a moment of profound loss wrapped in the language of diplomacy. Chief Seattle died in Old Man House on June 7, 1866. 4 years later, the U.S. government ordered the longhouse burned. Indian agent William DeShaw, who had learned the Lushootseed language and married into the tribe, carried out the order. The Bureau of Indian Affairs believed communal dwellings discouraged the adoption of private property. When Chief Seattle's daughter, Angeline, heard what was happening, she paddled 9 miles across Puget Sound and threw sand on the burning cedar posts, crying out that this was her grandfather's house. Now, the story of this particular piece of land takes an unexpected turn, from indigenous heritage to a Seattle family whose name it still carries today. John P. Fay was a prominent Seattle attorney who arrived in the city before the Great Fire of 1889. He purchased this stretch of northeast Bainbridge Island as a family retreat and built a grand two-story summer home he called Faybrook, named after the ancestral Fay estate in England. The house featured expansive gardens and fruit trees overlooking the sound. In 1909, Faybrook caught fire. John Fay rushed through the burning house to ensure all his children had escaped safely. Even as flames consumed the structure, he stood at a window passing out volumes from his 2,000-book library until the ceiling collapsed around him. He survived, badly burned, but the grand house was gone. The family replaced it with a modest summer cottage and never rebuilt to that former grandeur. John Fay's son, Temple Sedgwick Fay, was born in Seattle in 1895 and grew up spending summers on this very shore. He went on to become one of the most remarkable medical pioneers of the 20th century. After studying at the University of Washington, Temple Fay earned his medical degree at the University of Pennsylvania and was appointed professor and head of neurosurgery at Temple University in Philadelphia at just 34 years old. In the 1930s, Dr. Fay did something that his colleagues thought was madness. He began systematically cooling his patients' bodies to treat brain injuries and cancer. He packed them in ice. He built the first machine designed to lower human body temperature. He created tiny refrigerated capsules he called cold bombs and implanted them directly into the brain to fight infection and tumors. Hospital administrators complained that he was ruining their mattresses with all the ice. Temple University accepted his resignation in 1943, just days before they would have fired him. But history proved Dr. Fay spectacularly right. Today, therapeutic hypothermia is standard practice in emergency rooms and intensive care units around the world. When paramedics cool a cardiac arrest patient to protect their brain, they're using principles that Temple Fay pioneered right here in Philadelphia. Principles born from the mind of a boy who grew up watching Puget Sound from the shoreline. The 1929 stock market crash had devastated the Fay family's fortune. In 1944, Washington State purchased this land for $5,000 from Temple Faye's estate, with one stipulation. The park must carry the Faye name in perpetuity. Before you enter the park, you might notice a bell near the entrance. That bell has its own story. In 1883, Captain Jeremiah Farnham brought it by ship from San Francisco for the citizens of nearby Port Madison. It was meant as a town crier, rung to announce important community events. The bell moved between various buildings over the decades before the Kitsap County Historical Society donated it to the park in 1953, where it has stood ever since. For over a century, Faye Bainbridge operated as a state park. But in 2011, during a period of Washington state budget cuts, it was transferred to the Bainbridge Island Metropolitan Park and Recreation District, the local community that had always considered it their own. Today, the park offers 1,420 feet of Puget Sound shoreline. On a clear day, you can see Mount Rainier to the south and Mount Baker to the north. The beach is ideal for tide pooling and beachcombing. 40 campsites and 3 cabins welcome overnight visitors. But perhaps what makes this place most powerful is what it asks you to hold in your mind at once. 10,000 years of Suquamish stewardship, the arrival of Europeans and the treaties that followed, a family home that burned in the night, and a boy who grew up on this shore.